gather back up. So as we mentioned, it's Level Up Sunday, so we're doing something a little different this year. Casey and I are doing the tag team on the sermon today as we talk about why level up, why ministry with kids and families in our church. And so if you don't know, I'm Vanessa, I'm the Children's and Discipleship Pastor. This is Casey, and she's our youth pastor. So we are excited to be here and talk about what God's doing. I'm going to open us in prayer and then turn it over to Casey to get us going. Holy Spirit, come. We love you. We are so grateful that your presence is always with us. We just ask that right now, this time and this space, pray that the voice of the enemy will be silenced in Jesus' name, and that the word of God will go forth through the Holy Spirit to show us what you want to teach each of us individually today. Help us just to have open hearts and minds and ears to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Whew. All right, it's Level Up, and I'm just going to give you a little history to start on why we even have this going on today. If you've been in the children's church hall, raise your hand. Okay, you may have seen or not seen, depending on how distracted you were in the children's church hall, this giant graphic that looks like that, and it's called the Vineyard Pilgrimage. It sounds very heavy. I might have to hold this closer. I need to stand up here. I'm just kidding. All right. So the Vineyard Pilgrimage, and it shows from birth to being aged. Does it say death on there? I don't know. That would be a little grim. But anyway, for your whole lifespan, if you're wondering where you are, go look on there. Find out you are here. On this, thank you. and this is just something that came up within the Vineyard to kind of keep us on track with how we handle discipleship and equipping children all the way up to adulthood. It's a spiritual journey process of development for individuals, especially youth, within our movement, and it's a way to mark milestones. Like today, as people progress and grow closer to Jesus. So today is a milestone for our rising sixth graders because they are leaving children's church and coming into youth group, which is a big deal. I think mostly because we have chips every week, really. All the younger siblings are like peering around, sneaking in. They're like, "Can I have it some chips?" So this is a big deal. They're gonna finally be where the chips are. And our high school graduates are leveling out of youth group into adult ministry, which is so exciting. We're propelling them, launching them into college or whatever is next for them. And that's also a momentous occasion. Wow. Today we celebrate them. Today we celebrate Level Up and Level Out. And this is why, because this is part of our pilgrimage. This is part of our framework for how we do ministry and how we equip people from childhood, from 0 to 85, looks like. After 85, you're on your own. So I'm just kidding. Just kidding. What?
There's an arrow.
Okay, all right. Until however long. The Lord calls you home. All right. So, in thinking about this pilgrimage and just all of the different parts, moving parts of how we equip each other or equip our kids for their pilgrimage, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about the people involved, because it's a lot of people. The title, did we show the title yet of our message? Surprise! It takes a village and a vineyard. And I know that sign out there maybe had a different meaning, but for us, we're going to take it as for the village and the vineyard movement. And so I'm just going to talk about the role of our parents in this pilgrimage. Parents, I wish that I could have giant googly eyes and look at each, look at each parent in the eye as I say this. Raise your hand if you're a parent in this room. Wow, could you guys look around? Look at all these parents. Thank you, because if not for you, we would not be celebrating anything today. So everybody give the parents a hand. Come on, you can do better than that. All right. So we're going to start with some simple dictionary definitions of the word parent, okay? Webster's Dictionary from 1828 says a parent is a father or a mother, he or she that produces young, and then it goes on to give you some interesting details about the duties of parents to their children are to maintain, protect, and educate them. Okay, so that's Webster. Thank you, Webster. All right, and then the legal definition, so is an individual who has parental rights and responsibilities over a child, including biological parents, adoptive parents, or individuals who have legally established a parent-child relationship. This includes providing for the basic needs and making decisions about their upbringing. And for fun, I threw in a kid's definition of a parent. Okay. Roadblock to fun. Chore enforcer. Bank. Supplier of endless dad jokes and hilarious stories from your youth. That happens a lot at our house. Dad, will you tell us a story? bedroom sanitation checker. That's my job. Curfew setter. Right? And the list could go on and on of what parents or kids, their perspective of what a parent is and does, right? Well, then let's hear a little bit about what God's definition is. And I'm just going to go real quickly through these. Ephesians 6:4 talks about not abusing our authority as parents and bringing our kids up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says train up a child. So training is part of our duty as parents. Deuteronomy 6:6-9, teach God's word, talk about God's word, make it a natural part of your family routine. Proverbs 29:15-17 says discipline and correct. That's the yucky part of our job, but somebody's got to do it, right? So those passages give us a little bit of insight into what a parent does, but Psalm 127 tells us who parents are and how the Lord, what he thinks of us as parents. So it says Psalm 127:3-5, I'm just going to use the first part. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Wow. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior or mighty one are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is filled with them. Our props are so far away. Thank you. I borrowed some props. I promise I won't shoot anyone. Yeah. Boy, that is heavy.
Let me hold this for you
right here. I'll put it back on the stand. You know, okay. To work that hard. There we go. Okay. What? Yes, I am a mighty warrior because God said I am. Yes. As a parent. Can I say it again? I am a mighty warrior because God said I am. And these children have been placed in my hand like an arrow in the hand of a warrior. Now, if I put this arrow in somebody else's hand, say Judah, he's my four-year-old, this would still be a weapon for him and for you. But he might not use it right. He might break it. He might hurt himself, right? But a warrior is an experienced fighter. A warrior has been trained. A warrior knows what it means to go to battle. They know the discipline it takes. They know how to prepare themselves mentally and physically and emotionally to go into the places they have to go in to defend and protect. So a warrior would not be confused as to what to do with the arrow that's been placed in his hand or her hand. They know how to load the bow. They know how to get their mark to guide it and direct it to the right places to accomplish the task that's before them. And in a culture where we talk about this all the time, it's after our kids. And we say, we got to protect our kids from the culture. We got to protect ourselves from the culture, parents, because the culture is after us. And they want to sing us to sleep and distract us. And God says, no, you're a mighty warrior. And I've placed these kids, these arrows in your hand because I know you know what to do with them. And you might be thinking, not my kid. I don't know what to do with my kid. Yes, you're the one. You're it. You're the person for the job. You're the right person for this job. Parents, you're the right one. You can do it. And God will meet you there. He will fashion and mold you. He will make a warrior out of you. So on your stinkiest day, when everything feels like it is not going right, please hear me. Hear me with an arrow and a bow in my hand saying, you are a warrior. And you are the right person for this job. You're the right mama and the right daddy or the right guardian for this child. And God will work through you and he will do the things and he'll meet you where you're at. You are his warrior. And he gave you the right arrow. And you know what to do. So the world says we're maybe irrelevant, ill-equipped, lacking, but God says we are not any of those things. We're not an ATM. We're not cool. We're a warrior. You ever met any serious warriors, like maybe somebody in the military? Are they worried about being cool? Are they worried about being their best friend of the people they're in charge of? No. They're focused. They know the task at hand. They know the training is important because they have to equip these people for battle. And if they fail, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, if they don't discipline and teach, if they're too worried or too distracted, then they know that that person will not be equipped for the battle that they have to fight. So I encourage you today to let these words sink down very deep in your hearts. Let them take root. Gosh, I just feel the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room for you parents. Can you just receive it this morning? Your role is so important. It's essential. You are valuable. You are needed. So that's not a pressure. I hope that's a relief to you. I hope that brings healing to your wounded heart this morning. Kids are, they're arrows. Sometimes we're the ones they're sticking in. You are equipped. You are the right person for the job. You are a warrior.
And if you're like me and you don't have your own children, you are still called to pour into the next generation. This call is for all of us. And that's why we use this title for our sermon. It takes a village and a vineyard. Juan Vieira found this little plaque for us somewhere that says parenting. It takes a village and a vineyard. And he brought it, and we leave it on our check-in desk out there because it does. And we, as the Vineyard Community Church, are the village. We are called, all of us, as a community, to pour into the next generation. And we're going to look at another psalm, Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8. I'm going to read this if you want to turn there. Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8. It says this: "What we have heard and learned, that which our ancestors have told us, we will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation about the Lord's praiseworthy acts, about his strength and the amazing things he has done. He established a rule in Jacob. He set up a law in Israel. He commanded our ancestors to make his deeds known to their descendants so that the next generation, children yet to be born, might know about them. They will grow up and tell their descendants about them. Then they will place their confidence in God. They will not forget the works of God, and they will obey his commands. They will not be like their ancestors, who were a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that was not committed and faithful to God." And this passage is a psalm that the Hebrew, the Israelites, would sing as a commitment that, like, the whole culture of the Jewish Hebrew community was so much community focused, and it was about passing on the stories, passing on what God has done. And all through scripture, you see how they say, remember when God saved us from Egypt. Remember how he came in miraculous power. Remember what he did. And children in this room and teenagers in this room, we as adults here are here to testify to you that the Lord has done amazing things in our lives. He's done amazing things, and we know he is already doing amazing things in your lives, and there's so much more to come for you. And so we are here to testify as a community of what the Lord has done so that you, young ones, can also have confidence in God. Because we have been through some things in our lives. Anyone been through some things in their lives? And we have found that Jesus is who we need. Jesus is the one we turn to. And we haven't always done that. And sometimes we fail you. We're not perfect. We mess up and we know it. But we know the one who is perfect and loving and gracious and merciful and always there for us. And he is going to be there for you and everything to come in your life as well. And so we, as a community, get to pour out and testify to the next generations. And then you, children and teenagers, you get to testify to the next generations as well. This is an ongoing thing. It does not end. It doesn't end with one generation. It keeps on going. And so it takes a village and a vineyard, a community church like ours, that we all understand that we have a role and a part to play. So how can you be a part of the lives of the kids and youth in our church family? Well, one of the number one things that is needed is that we need to be praying and interceding on behalf of our kids and our teens and their parents. It is not easy. Yes, parents, you are warriors, but we know that it's not easy. Even those of us who aren't parents can see that it's not easy. And we know that even warriors get weary, and we are going to be, as a community, when we do child dedications, what we do is we commit to raising these children in faith together as a community, right? And so that's what we get to do, Vineyard Community Church, is be the village that prays for and upholds and gets to know these families. Even if you don't have your own children, get to know some kids and some teenagers and some parents and know what's going on in their lives so you can pray for them and do it, because prayers make a difference. They are mighty. Another thing we can do is that we have our kids and teens are in here on usually on fifth Sundays, so once every quarter. We see them in the hallways and at different events, at home groups. Talk to them. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them what they liked. Say, did anything fun happen this week? Did anything hard happen this week? Like, we get to invest in people, but we have to, like, show an interest in them. Do you know how good it makes you feel when someone takes time to, like, pay attention to you and love you? It's the same for kids. They soak it up. And so, like, kids, when these adults come and talk to you, sometimes it might feel a little scary to you, but just know that it's because they see you and they love you, and they are part of your village. Another way that so many people in this room are already involved is by serving in kids ministry and youth ministry. I would just like to ask everyone who serves in kids and youth ministry, would you just stand up for a minute? There's a lot of teenagers who also do this. I just want you to see, this is the village. We are so grateful for you, and at this time, we're going to actually invite a few of you to come and share your testimonies about why you serve, why you're a part of this ministry. So if David Milligan, Hannah Strausser, and Maddie Bell can come forward, we're going to let you guys share a testimony for us about why you serve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So naturally, when Vanessa first asked me to do this, my first response was, no way, not possible, not happening. But then I thought, you know, well, what could I say to encourage people to help us in Kids Church? And my first thought was I could quote Jack Black from School of Rock. But then I quickly thought, no, that's not a good idea. So, but first of all, you get this really cool T-shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's great. And but no, I was just going to say it's a small commitment that makes a huge difference in the church. You know, I mean, it's just an hour and a half. Once a month, and it really makes a big difference in kids' lives and in the church life. So it's a great way to contribute and, you know, and pitch in. And that's what that's why I do it. You know, I want to be able to contribute. And I found that one of the benefits is, like she mentioned, is you get to know some of the families that you wouldn't otherwise get to know in the church. You know, you meet their kids and you can say, oh, that's so-and-so's dad, or that's so-and-so's mom, and it helps you to kind of feel connected. So I really appreciated that, and through the years, I've been doing this really for a pretty long time.
Longer than me.
And, and I feel like that's one of the biggest benefits. It's just you feel more connected with the church family, and so I really enjoy that. And the other thing I was going to encourage you guys is just that it doesn't take much. You don't have to have a calling or particularly gifted or talented in working with kids. It really isn't that big a deal. Vanessa makes these lesson plans that are very simple. She gives them to you ahead of time. You just follow the plan. It's no big deal. And like I said, it doesn't take super talent to do it. You've got somebody else in there with you that you can lean on heavily. Thank you, Kevin King. And I mean, really, I'm just a helper, but we need more helpers. So I just thought, hey, I would encourage all of you. It's a great thing to do. It's a small commitment that makes a huge difference.
Amen. Hi, my name is Hannah. Hang on. I have some notes on my phone, so I'm just going to put it over here. So Vanessa asked me, what is my heart in working with the kids? And truthfully, it's a struggle sometimes. Like, you're working with tiny beings that are crazy, rambunctious, and they want to do what they want to do. And how can you flow that into worship? I typically work with the worship, and it's a lot sometimes. And when you're doing it, I sometimes struggle, and I fail, and I'm just trying to get somebody to do the motions with me. And it sometimes does not work, and that is perfectly okay, because we are just trying to help them learn God through us. And if we fail, they learn that we fail too. Like, they fail, and it's fine. And yeah, let's see. Being happy and cheerful and just jumping up and going to these little singing and dancing and everything with them, sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's hard for them too. And knowing that we can still go and do that is something that's amazing. And when we're doing it, it can be so insightful to really work with children. And I've learned so much every day, but one of the biggest things that they can teach you is that what you gain from them, what their knowledge is help me to grow in my own knowledge and how to help outreach to them. And just helping one child allows me to grow better in myself and allows them to see something new. You don't have to reach the whole group. You can just work on singing and dancing with one child, and that child learns something that day. Even though you want to work with everybody, some people just, it's hard to outreach. So if you work with one person, one little person, they'll come to you and they'll try to learn things. And sometimes you'll just be like, when I'm walking in the halls, I'll see some of them doing the motions, some of them singing the songs, and it just builds you with so much energy and happiness that you want to keep coming back, even though sometimes it's so tricky and hard. But it's a good thing, and you learn so much, and I recommend it to a lot of people. If you want to try, you should. It's really good.
Well, David stole my joke about the cool shirts, so. But the youth ones are cooler. Oh. They are. I can't wait for this year's. So I've gotten to work in youth, sixth graders through high schoolers. What a crazy age. I think they have bigger personalities. They know more. That's a good thing and a bad thing sometimes. They're funny. They get to make some, they make me laugh so much. I think just, I've made some of my best friends on the youth leader team, but also I've gotten to make some, what I hope is, looking at you, Daniel, lifelong connections that I get to just continue as I've been a part of watching, like, these kids grow and become adults, which is, like, awesome. I wouldn't have wanted to do that with me when I was a kid, but I found it so rewarding, and I'm struck all the time by the honor that it is to get to play a role in y'all's kids' lives and to build relationships with them and the amount of trust that you place in me and in my other leaders and that partnership and that relationship I have with the parents and the kids. It's such an honor, and I hope that you guys appreciate that relationship and how like special that is to me. I've found that youth ministry has become a calling for me, and so I'm so grateful for this church to for having brought me to that realization and how special that is to me. It's so awesome to get to at least once a week, sometimes more, but get to talk to these kids who are just really going through stuff. Like middle school and high school is a hard age. I don't know if y'all remember being that old, but that was really difficult. A lot of questions, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, and a lot of life happens at that time. And I get to sit there and hold a kid's hand through that and be a person of peace and safety for them and just affirm that they're a child of God and remind them of who they are and hope that that's the lesson that they take out of here and that's their center for the rest of their lives. So I'm as grateful to y'all for letting me be in this position, and I would love to see more people help out with it because it is such a blessing, and it's such an incredible responsibility. That's all, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we just have so many amazing volunteers, so thank you from Casey and myself. These ministries are dependent on your time and love and investment that you make into these kids and families. So thank you for that. We're going to move into getting ready to meet and introduce and pray over our kids moving into sixth grade and our high schoolers who've graduated. And as we do that, we're going to kind of change directions, not completely, but we're going to talk to this another portion of this pilgrimage is the kids and youth themselves. So kids, if you haven't been listening, now's the time to pay attention, because this is for you. This, what I'm about to say, is for you. It's for your parents, but it's also for you. Here's what I want you to know. 2 Timothy 3:14-15 says this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings," which is the Bible, the scriptures, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." It is an incredible privilege for you as young ones to have parents
and people in your life who want you to know Jesus, who have taken time to pray for you, to talk to you about Jesus, to bring you to church. And when you come to church and you're in kids' classrooms, we hope you have fun, but we want you to experience the love God has for you more than anything else. We want you to know that he is for you and he is real and he has a plan for your life. And the Bible, the reason we like read a Bible story every week and learn something about why it matters to our lives is because it's what makes us wise. It's what gives us salvation. And so kids, I want to encourage you right now to keep choosing Jesus throughout your life. And I want to speak to those of you moving into sixth grade as you're getting older. Keep choosing Jesus for your life. And teenagers in youth group, in middle school and high school, keep choosing Jesus for your life. And seniors who are going into adulthood, keep choosing Jesus for your life because he makes all the difference. And it's based on the fact that there's a question in here is about being one who firmly believes. And so I just want to challenge each of us, and this is for all of us, kids and adults alike, to ask ourselves, have I firmly believed what I've been taught? Because kids, your parents can make you come to church. They can do that. And I think it's good for them to do that because there's something here for you that you need in your life. They're not trying to be mean. They want you to get something good from the relationship with God that we have experienced as adults. But you have to personally decide if you believe what you're being taught. You get to personally decide if you want to follow Jesus for your life. And you get to keep choosing that throughout your life. My earliest memory of choosing to follow Jesus, I was about 3 years old, maybe four. And we were singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The cross behind, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I was probably 3, maybe 4 years old. And I remember being like, yes, I want to follow Jesus. That's because I had parents who brought me to church, and I'm grateful for that. You know what? Life was not easy. And when I was 9, I made a decision to get baptized to say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, which is what baptism symbolizes. We go under the water, we die with Jesus, and we raise again to life like Jesus did. And I said, I believe Jesus did this for me. I believe that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved and that I can't do it on my own. And so at 9 years old, I made a decision to follow Jesus. And then at 16 years old, I went to youth camp and I had an experience of the love of God for me that I had never fully grasped. Not that you ever fully, I still haven't fully grasped it, but that I grasped it a greater measure. And it changed my life, and this anger and this hatred and this self-hatred and depression and all these things, they didn't just magically disappear, but I suddenly had a hope and a purpose and someone to look to and believe that I matter to the Lord and creator of the universe who created me. And kids, you get to keep choosing. I have to keep choosing as an adult. Adults, we get to keep choosing to follow Jesus. So I encourage you, as you are going into youth group, those of you going into sixth grade, this is an opportunity. You're getting older. You're making more and more of your own choices. I encourage you to read your Bible. We're going to gift you with a Bible today that's just for teens, for your age group. And I encourage you to read it because it is what makes you wise for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know it's okay to have questions. We all have questions. And sometimes we have doubts and we're like, do we believe this? Is the Bible true? Is God real? Does he really love me? Is like, what is this all about? And I want to tell you kids and youth that we as adults have had probably any question you have, someone in this room as an adult has had it at some point in our lives as well. And can I just get adults to testify? Just say amen if you can say that you have found that Jesus is who you need for your life. Just say amen with me. Amen. Like, we know that life is hard. We don't have all the answers even now. And we can't give you all your answers, but we want to listen to your questions, and we want to talk to you about your questions, and we want you to know that you're allowed to have your questions, and God welcomes your questions, and so do we. But we are here to tell you that we've learned some things often by hard experiences. And if we can give you any bit of wisdom to help you along the way so you have a little bit less hard than some of us have had, we are here for that because we love you and we are your village and we are the Vineyard Community Church that is here committed to you.
Thank you. Amen. Another value and just a theme in our pilgrimage is 1 Timothy 4:12. Some of you might know this. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. It's a biblical principle and a vineyard value. And how we say it in the vineyard is everyone gets to play. Man, that is good news. I don't know if you've been to a church where you had to have 5 degrees and some certificates up on the wall to participate, but it's not like that here. Come with your jeans and your flip-flops and participate in what God is doing. We invite you. We welcome you. And not just you as adults, but we are welcoming from the tiniest of kids. My preschooler has been doing listening prayer in his little Acorns class and now Sprouts class since he's been in there. And I think he mostly hears about monster trucks and sharks or something, but that's okay. Whatever the Lord's doing in him. But can you imagine someone who starts out like that and they have been exposed to that from toddlerhood to adulthood? The span to get it right, the span to get to be part of it, the span of getting to participate in what is happening in the kingdom of God, what's happening in our community and in our church. Wow, what a gift. What a gift that we have. To my youth, to my rising sixth graders that are coming to youth, sorry. We don't believe that you're at a disadvantage because you're young. We don't believe you're at a disadvantage because you have questions. We believe that God can speak to you and that he is speaking to you. And we believe that you have value in our community, that there are adults in the room that can be blessed by something that you have to say. That when you're reading your Bible and getting revelation, that you could share it and encourage and bolster this body. We believe that, and we encourage you to do it. Adults have a lot of stuff on their minds. You don't have as many worries. You're free. Your mind can be free to hear from God. Your heart can be soft and open to him. You have to choose it every day, just like Vanessa said. But the Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to touch other people's lives through you. And there's a lot of value, a richness in that. It's not like being used like a pawn in a chess game. It's like being invited on the greatest adventure of your life. Always think about Aladdin and that magic carpet ride. And maybe there's been a newer one, right? So y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But the cartoon one, when it came out, my dad, he loves cartoon movies. My mom hates them, but she would go with us. But he was gripping the seat. He said, I felt like I was really on that magic carpet ride. And the Lord invites us on that magic carpet ride with him. He invites us on an adventure with him. Relationship with the Lord is not mundanity and just Bible reading and boring stuff that we don't understand. Saying yes to him would be the biggest and most great adventure you could ever go on. It's taken me to places I never thought I would go. So we challenge you to live that way. Don't be intimidated by your youth, what you know or what you don't know. Be open to the Lord and let him use you.
Okay, we're gonna now bring up our kids going into sixth grade first, and then we're gonna bring up our graduating seniors. So as I call your name, I'm gonna let you come up front, and you guys can just kind of line up here because we're gonna gather around you and pray for you. That's what our ministry time today is gonna be about, praying for these kids. So let's, as I say the name, we can applaud them and just pray, like be excited for them as they come into youth group. So first we have Felicity Armstrong. And we have Riley Barrett. Woo! Okay, and we have Aviella Bougois. We have Anna McKinnon. We have Kate McKinnon. And then we also have Zipporah Pascal, who's not here today, but let's celebrate her anyways.
Okay. All right. Yeah, look at these warrior women that are coming to youth group. Praise the Lord. All right. And leveling out today, we have Daniel Saban. Woo! And Eliana Armstrong. She's not with us, but let's celebrate and give her a hand. We are so very proud of our youth. Our youth that are leveling out today. So very proud of who they are becoming in the Lord. And it is an honor and it's a privilege to get a front row seat to what God is doing in a child's life. And we just feel really, really proud today. So they've got Bibles. They're equipped. They got their swords, ladies. You got your teen Bible swords, and Daniel, that is a man's Bible, all right? It's heavy. It's loaded with what you need on your next leg of the journey. Yeah, you guys can lay them down. So we're gonna invite you up to come and lay hands and just pray for our kids.
Yeah, so parents, kids and youth, teachers and volunteers, and anyone who wants to can join us now. We're going to just surround them and pray for them as we close. And then we're going to continue to do, as we do for ministry time, we're going to just pray on you and just ask the Lord to speak words over you guys during this time. And in a few minutes, Casey and I will close out with a prayer and dismiss people, but we'll keep praying for them until we're done. So, okay, so parents, youth leaders, friends, community, the Vineyard community, come on up, anyone who wants to come pray. Yeah, you can spread out a little bit. So we just say, Holy Spirit, come, pour down now. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to pour on the lives of each of these young people as they move into a new season of life. We pray for your guidance, Holy Spirit. We pray for you to raise up faith in them. We pray for them to experience your goodness and your love for them in a way that's so personal that they know that you are real and that you love them.
Holy Spirit, fill each one, Lord. Each one.
bolster them with the truth of who they are in you. Stir up the gifts that you placed in them. Let them be overwhelmed with the truth of who you say that they are, Lord. Cover and equip them, Lord, for this next adventure in you. We bless what you're doing in them, Lord.
Amen. So we're going to continue praying. People are up here until you're done, but we are officially dismissed. Thank you for being a part of this community and blessing and loving these kids.